The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
It's time for our weekly medical consultation with Dr. Ray Wally. We're going to talk in a few moments about dry January, what giving up alcohol does to your body. But first, I do want to ask you about the government's announcement of plans to put $20 million into a budget to tackle the spread of the hospital superbug. Just what is the hospital superbug?
Well, the hospital superbug, none of these words trip off your tongue. The latest one is carbapenemase-producing Enterobacteriaceae. It follows in the line of vancomycin-resistant enterococci and methicillin-resistant Staph aureus, both of which, unfortunately, we lost the battle with. So this comes on the fact that the World Health Organization, for the fourth time in its history, held an annual general meeting last year, stating that this is serious stuff. The last meeting of such by the World Health Organization was for the HIV epidemic, so it's as serious as that.
Because I think people get very worried. I mean, they hear about things like MRSAs and now the CPE, and they go to hospital to get treatment for serious illness, and they worry that actually they could become even more ill because of contracting something that they wouldn't have come across if they hadn't gone to hospital.
Well, yes, but they're going to hospital because they're very sick and it's the only place where they can be appropriately treated. Now, the good news is that we are a little bit further on because we have developed some systems, having learned from the MRSA and the VRE, we're a little bit further on in managing this. So, for example, in countries like Italy and Greece, 1 in 4 to 1 in 2 of bloodstream CPE infections, septicemia, are due to these bugs. We're not at that level. So we are greatly ahead of the curve to ensure that we don't get to that level. And that's why the government have announced this $20 million. And a lot of it is simple things like hand hygiene. A lot of it is making sure that we use less antibiotics, making sure that hygiene is important. Now, that being said, we do have a problem in the world in regard to too much use of antibiotics in veterinary areas. So that is being dealt with by the World Health Organization. Promoting vaccines.
But isn't there also an issue that our hospitals aren't necessarily clean enough? That, I know it's an old-fashioned thing to say that in the old days when the nuns were running the hospitals, they were always spotlessly clean. It's a bit more complicated than that, though, isn't it?
Well, it is a relevant point in the fact that when we had those hospitals back in those days, we had 85% capacity. So if any woman cleaning her kitchen at home will know that you can't clean a kitchen if the work surfaces are dirty and they've got plates on them. And unfortunately, the work surfaces in a hospital setting are beds. One of the successful countries in this has been Holland in the fact that they have 85% capacity. Every bed has 4 mattresses. There's a mattress on the bed. There's a mattress underneath the bed. There's a mattress in storage in the hospital. There's a mattress in storage somewhere else. Unfortunately, we don't do that. We've got 94 to 98% capacity. And what concerns us is if we are spending so much money on the children's hospital, are we going to be able to afford to put in the capacity to develop the beds that we need? But the mainstay of this, first and foremost, is hygiene, ensuring that you wash your hands on a regular basis, ensuring that we promote vaccines, that we don't need antibiotics to basically treat infections, ensuring that we're all keeping well. And this is something that we are ahead of. We don't use the amount of antibiotics that other countries do, and we've got to make sure that we ensure that. But equally, a lot of people in Ireland buy antibiotics in places like Spain and whatever. The EEC need to stop that, and we as a population need to stop it.
Okay, I want to ask you about alcohol. For a lot of people, this is what they call dry January. You also have things like later in the year, sober October, or people have no drink November in preparation for Christmas. What do you make of this idea of giving up alcohol for a month and then resuming your normal habits?
It certainly has merit to it. It's actually interesting in the fact that the Drinkware website there said there's 300% rise in people looking at alcohol and its effects for December 2018. That's a major plus because people are now realising the effects of it. So, for example, if you give up alcohol, automatically your blood pressure comes down. So, unfortunately, we all know an individual who drinks too much alcohol who basically has a flushed face. That's because alcohol is what's called a vasodilator. It opens up your blood vessels, and with that, it increases blood pressure. So a lot of those people, if they give up alcohol, they will get some degree of reduction in blood pressure, but unfortunately, if they've been on alcohol long enough, that reduction may not occur. Equally, the amount of calories, if you consider that in a 12.5% 750ml bottle of wine, there are 8 spoons of sugar. So you've got a massive calorie reduction. Or if you are a person who drinks 6 bottles or 4.5% Cider is 32 grams of sugar. So you've got the benefits of weight loss. Equally, alcohol is a dehydrating mechanism because it's a diuretic. Diuretic is something that makes you pee. Basically, your skin benefits in regard to you looking at your skin. You've got less tightness in your skin, reduced what's called skin turgor. We have major effects with alcohol on the effects on sleep. What happens is that you're spending less time in the deep sleep, more time in the less restful REM, rapid eye movement sleep. So by reducing your alcohol intake, you sleep better. You get less headaches if you're a migraine person. So as I said, basically weight loss is a big factor. You get a healthier liver, obviously. Reducing your cancer risk. Unfortunately, alcohol has got a carcinogenic effect. A lot of patients basically find they're neurological, they become tremulous, and one of the antidotes to that is something we give called thiamine, which is vitamin B1, something that is not available on a medical card. So if you have a medical card patient who is recognised as having a diminished income to get a medical card, they have to buy that vitamin.
Okay, but if you give up alcohol for a month and then you go back on it the way you used to be, will that do damage to your body? Will it be a shock to the system to return to your old drinking habits?
Any benefit basically will be obtained for whatever period you're off, but unfortunately you go back to drinking alcohol, certainly at a certain level. Like, you know, the advice is that you shouldn't drink more than 14 units. But unfortunately, what we do know from a recent study last August is any amount of alcohol can cause cancer. Any amount of alcohol can cause cardiac problems. So yes, if you are going to give it up and you're going to drink less of it over a short time or a long time, the greater the benefit.
Okay. I have to tell you, Ray, the women of Ireland are up in arms about your comment about any woman in her kitchen at home would know about cleaning, pointing out that it's not just a woman's place, the kitchen, that men have to clean the kitchens as well, and more of them should be doing so.
I agree with you. I'm making the point that only women know about this stuff.
Thank you very much, Dr. Ray Wally, for our weekly medical consultation.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.